Everybody take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The title of my sermon is The Steps to Revival. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12 through 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 12 through 20. Please stand in honor of God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 20. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. We've been talking about this verse on Wednesday nights for bad music and how to tell the difference between music. We've been talking about that on Wednesday nights with the teenagers. Meats for the belly and belly for the meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the member of Christ and make them the member of a harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God, and we thank you so much for the preaching of the Word of God. And dearly Father, I pray that you just guide my thoughts and guide my mouth, and I pray that you just settle the crowd, and I pray that you just help us to listen. And dearly Father, I pray that you help it to be your message and not mine. And dearly Father, I pray that you just speak to these people through me. And dearly Father, if I were to get up and try and talk my own wisdom, I'd be wasting our church's time. But dearly Father, I pray that you just help me to portray your message through the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know, I want you to look at the front of your Bible. Some of you, it's not on the front. Others, it's unabiding. Mine is unabiding. It's a little wore off. And it says, Holy Bible. And the thing about it is why doesn't it just say the Bible? The reason is the Holy Bible is not man's book. Man did not write it. Man did not preserve it. Man did not inspire it. That's what makes it holy. If we look in verses 19 through 20, it says, What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Talking about Christians. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The truth of the matter is we are to live holy lives. God says, be holy, for I am holy. And, you know, a lot of times we don't exactly totally understand that verse as far as we need to be living a holy life. How holy is our life? How holy is our walk with God? How holy are our words? How holy are our thoughts? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 16 through 17 says this, Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Ye are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, the thing about it is there's something to this idea of having a holy life or living a holy life. You know, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. Never forget one time I went on a call on an ambulance, and we got called for a difficulty breather. And we walked into this house, and automatically we were knocked over with the smell. And the truth of the matter is that it just, to the point where we had to call another ambulance in, and we'd take turns going in there because it was hard to be nauseous. And I'll try and be as appropriate as I possibly can, but I want to describe to you how bad this house was. We'd walk by the bathroom, and the toilet was obviously not working for a long period of time, and they continued to use it, and it flowed over. The shower looked like it had never been used, and the ceiling was caving down, and there was stuff stacked everywhere, and every time you walked into a room, you saw things move, and just the thing about it is this house was disgusting. The truth of the matter is when we don't live a holy life, what life do we make our Holy Spirit live in? Do we allow sin to enter into our lives, and do we allow sin to fester in our lives? or do we live a holy life? The truth of the matter is that, you know what? Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 10, towards the beginning of the Bible, teenagers, Leviticus chapter, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, chapter 10 and verse 10, the Bible says that we are supposed to be different. The Bible says in Leviticus 10:10, and that you may put a difference between the holy and the unholy, and a difference between the clean and between unclean and clean. And the truth of the matter is that there should be a difference between our life and the life of the world. There should be a difference between the music of our music and the world. We've been talking about music and how God says that we're supposed to sing a new song. And, you know, the thing about it is it's not new in relationship to time, as far as it wasn't made yesterday, and so it was very new. It's talking about new in relationship to Christ. The thing about it is the Bible says that we become a new creature in Christ. And when we become a new creature in Christ, the truth of the matter is our songs should be new in Christ as well. Devin, come on up. I need you as an illustration, buddy. The thing about it is what happens is too many times, I'm going to have you stand right here. Devin's going to picture the world. Now, he doesn't, Devin loves God, and this is just as an illustration. But the truth of the matter is too many times we as Christians think that because there's a distance between the world and us, we're good. And what happens is over time we see that the world starts to get worse and worse. Devin, start slowly walking that way. And that way, yes. And what happens is that as the world starts to get worse and worse, we start changing in our beliefs. And as the world gets worse in our music, we start getting worse in our music. And as the world starts getting worse in their language, we start getting worse in our language. And what happens is, you know, the truth of the matter is we may still have a distance between the world and us. And there may be the same distance, but the truth, stop right there. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? Where I find myself right here is where the world used to be. And you can stop, Devin. And the truth of the matter is that, you know what? Too many times we as Christians, we find ourselves to where the world used to be. You know, I'll be honest with you. This is why I talk to the teenagers. Hey, you know what? Revival is not found in Southern gospel music. Let me tell you. Revival is not found in the Passion of the Christ. You know what? Revival is not found because the truth of the matter is we were taking worldly philosophies, we're taking the Nashville style of singing, we're taking the Hollywood style of singing, and we're incorporating that into our Christian music. And what's happening is the place where the world used to be, we find ourselves now. And the truth of the matter is that this right there is a hindrance to revival. John chapter 15 and verse 19. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 15 and verse 19. The Bible talks about how if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. The truth of the matter is too many times Christians live right here, where the world used to be. And what happens is we find ourselves uncomfortable. Because, you know what? The Christians that are on fire for God, the Christians that want to walk with God, want to please God, I tell you what, they're back there where God is. And the truth of the matter is we think that we're good because we're distanced from the world. And what happens is we're not like the world, so we don't fit in with the world's crowd, young people. But the truth of the matter is you know what? We're not where we should be. The truth of the matter is that we shouldn't use other people as our example. Well, you know what? I'm better than so-and-so. And no, the truth of the matter is the standard is holiness. The standard is holy. Be holy, for I am holy. I'll be honest with you, too many times we find ourselves right there in the middle. In the youth conference, we heard a sermon called Don't Be a Vomit Junk. And the thing about it is it's a kind of a funny title, but what happened was Jonah found himself to be a vomit junk. He walked away from God. He did not do what God had told him to do. And therefore, he found himself in the fish's belly. And what happens is he gets vomited out on land. You know what? Automatically, I think of the other passage it talks about, I wish you were the cold or hot, but instead you're lukewarm, right there in the middle. And God says, makes me want to vomit you out of my mouth. The truth of the matter is there needs to be, in order for us to have revival, we need to realize that we need revival. It's kind of like salvation. You can't hardly I was just talking to one of the teenagers on the basketball court this afternoon. And I said, you know, do you know 100% sure that if you were died today that you'd go to heaven? And he said, no, I don't. Well, let me show you some verses out of the scripture. And he said, you know what? I've read the Bible with my grandma from cover to cover. And I said, well, but you said you didn't know. The truth of the matter is the gospel is in there. I think what happened is you skipped over it. The truth of the matter is that salvation is not in anything other than Jesus' blood. You know, we can read the Bible till we're blue in the face, but the truth of the matter is that, you know what? It's nothing that we do gets us to heaven. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 through 11, it says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not people, but are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. The truth of the matter is you know what? God calls us to be a peculiar people. Not an individual that's trying to please the world and please God at once. The truth of the matter is the Bible says you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot try and please the world and please God at the same point in time. That's where you find yourself, right in the middle. Holiness is the beginning of revival. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. The Bible says, we're turning to a lot of scripture, I know. Try and follow along. I want to make sure that it's the word of God. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48 says, be therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And I looked that up, and I tried to, like Pastor said, find other verses that talked about it. Perfect is, from what I can tell, is like a maturity. The truth of the matter is we're supposed to be maturing in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9 talks about this very thing on how we're supposed to be growing as a Christian. Know ye not that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, neither thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. And the Bible says, as such were some of you. The truth of the matter is you know what? I'll be honest with you. I was saved at about 5 years old. So you know what? I was saved out of deep drinking out of the bottle. And I was saved. You know what? The truth of the matter is you know what? I'm glad that God saved me from, I've never taken tasted a drop of alcohol. I've never had to experience what it's like to smoke a cigarette. I've never, you know what? And I thank God for that. But the truth of the matter is even though I was saved at a young age, I was on my way to destined to be like some of those people. And the truth of the matter is but for the grace of God, I would be there too. Truth of the matter is it's nothing I did. Everything good in me is because of him. This is where we can end up. The standard is God and his holiness. Not the world, not our neighbor, not our relatives. And the truth of the matter is you know what? Too many times we as Christians decide that, you know what, we're gonna not study the Bible, and we're gonna try and make other people or other things their standard or what we believe in our head to be the case. But we need to take and get in the Word of God. We need to have a revival, and we need to realize that we need to have revival. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34. The Bible says, awake unto righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. The truth of the matter is you know what? We need to be knowledgeable in the things of God. The Bible says, awake unto righteousness. In other words, we're asleep. Awake unto righteousness. And sin not, for some having not the knowledge of God, I speak this sheer shame. In other words, we should be ashamed if we don't know the scriptures like we should. Now, the thing about it is obviously a new Christian is not going to be knowledgeable in the scripture like somebody that's been saved for many years at a time. But the truth of the matter is that we should be growing. We should be growing in grace. Proverbs chapter 24, Psalms Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 9. Here's a very another very interesting verse. It says, the thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. Now, the thing about it is automatically I come to the verse in my mind where the Bible says, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, the thing about it is in my mind, the thing about it is I think that if a fool has said in his heart, there is no God, somebody that's foolish lives like there is no God. And the truth of the matter is too many times we live like we don't have faith like we should. I'll be honest with you, teenagers, if we really believed that hell is real and that God is real, we wouldn't be talking in church. The truth of the matter is adults, if we really believed that God is real and hell is real, wouldn't we be telling everybody we come in contact with about the saving grace, the gospel of Jesus Christ? The truth of the matter is you know what? Too many times we take and we live the foolish lifestyle and we think that, you know what? I don't know. You know, we as humans, we're good at making excuses. But the truth of the matter is the standard is holiness in God. We need revival. And I'm not just talking about you. I'm talking about me. The thing about it is I need revival. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. The Bible says this. If my people, which are called by my name, this is Christians talking, or God talking about Christians, shall humble themselves. Pride says, you know what? Pride says, I deserve this. You know what? I'm good where I'm at. Nobody can tell me what to do. Pride says when the youth pastor says, hey, sit up and pay attention. You know what? Pride says, who's he to tell me to pay attention? Who's he to correct me? And the truth of the matter is you know what? I'll be honest with you. All throughout Scripture, the person that refuses correction is bound for destruction. You read Proverbs. And that teenager, listen, I'll be honest with you. I fear for you if you will not take correction. Because the truth of the matter is the Christian life is about it. You know what? It's growing pains. The thing about it is you know what? I'll be honest with you. There's not very many times where I go to this book right here and I read the Bible and God corrects me and shows me ways that I can improve. This is why God says, listen, the person that will not get corrected, there's heartache for. And the truth of the matter is you know what? Pride hinders revival. It's pride that says, I'm good enough. I don't need revival. Pride says that, you know what? I will not change. I will not give up my weights and my sins. And see, the truth of the matter is holy living has nothing to do with the changing times. You know, you hear that a lot. You see, well, times are changing, and you know what? We no longer need this, and we no longer need that. The truth of the matter is you know, Malachi 3 and verse 6 says this, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, your sons of Jacob are not consumed. Thing about it is God saying, hey, listen, I'm the same God of the God of Abraham. I'm the same God of the God of Jacob. I'm the same God of the God of Moses. I'm the same God that parted the Red Sea. You know what? I'm the same God of Elijah. I'm the same God of Elisha. I'm the same God. You read the passages of Scripture of great things happening. And the truth of the matter is we serve the exact same God. God has not lost his power. There's no power outages in heaven, bless God. And the truth of the matter is you know what? Hey, we serve the same God. So what has changed? Me. The truth of the matter is you know what? Pride. My wife had some friends that kind of got into the religion. Well, God speaks to you differently than he speaks to me. And you know what? God didn't mean what he said in this passage. And you know what? The thing about it is we use this as an excuse. Pride says, well, it's not me. Pride says, I don't need to change. And the truth of the matter is God's very clear. The command to go and preach the gospel is extended to everybody. The truth of the matter is we're all supposed to share the gospel. You know what? It goes back to if we really believe that God exists, then you know what? Every one of us, if we run across somebody at the grocery store, here, have an invitation to our church. Hey, inside is some verses that you can learn 100% sure how you're on your way to heaven. That's exciting, isn't it? And you know what? Everybody we come in contact with, we're going to be passing out tracts, and we're going to be, you know what? I'll be honest with you. It doesn't always work out to come to organized soul winning time. But you know what? There's no excuse. This is one thing that I tell you what, God speaks to my heart, and there's no excuse for not passing out a tract wherever we go. All of us go places. And the truth of the matter is either we live in holiness or we live like a fool in foolishness that there is no God. The truth of the matter is you know what? It has nothing to do with changing times. You know what? In 1857 through 1859, there was a prayer revival. It was the last one that I could tell on American soil. Six men at the Dutch Reformed Church in New York City began to pray. After 2 years, it has spread across America, and over 1 million people were saved. Wouldn't that be awesome? I tell you what, I would love to see revival in my day. I'm tired of hearing about it. I want to experience it. The thing about it is revival can start here. You know what? It started there with six men. Now, I'm not real good at math, but I bet you there's a lot more than six people here, right? And there's more than six teenagers here. But the thing about it is that, you know what? Revival. We need revival. If you turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, teenagers, it's towards the back of the Bible. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. We're hoping for revival, right? The evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by God. God created the world, and so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now listen to this. This is the faith passage, if you will. By faith, Abel obtained unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things is not seen of yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called out to go into a place which he should, after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And listen to this, and he went out not knowing whether he went. By faith, that's faith, is where God tells you to go, and you don't even know where you're going, but you're just obeying the voice of God because you have so much faith. God said it, that's what I'm doing. And you look, and through faith, verse 11, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. She was too old to have children because she judged him faithful who had promised. Listen, teenagers and adults, it's time that we start judging God faithful to the things that he promised. You know, it's time that we start claiming the promises of God. It's time that we start proving God and realize that, you know what? God is the same God of yesteryear. God is the same God back in 1857 and as it is today. You know, we need to start having faith that God can do the work. When we start thinking that, you know what? I'm all that and a bag of hot chips, then the pride steps in and hinders revival. But you know what? We need to get back to having faith in God. Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. We need to have faith. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Too many times we as Christians, we think, well, you know what? I come to church. I'm a pretty good Christian. And the thing about it is we start to think, you know what? Well, you know what? I am fill in the blank on whatever that person does. And we think, you know what? I'm a good person. And the Bible says what we think is reasonable isn't always reasonable. God says, listen, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. You know what? At the youth conference, we heard I believe it might have been the split passage or the split sessions. We heard that, you know, the thing about it is that too many times we think that, you know what? We're good at where we're at. And, but you know, the thing about it is that, I lost my spot. All right. And, but anyways, so which is your reasonable service? And going on, And be not conformed to this world, kind of like Play-Doh to a mold, but be transformed, kind of like a caterpillar to a butterfly. Be transformed. There's a difference between conformed and transformed. By the renewing of your mind, that you may approve what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's God's will for us to have revival. If you turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 1. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 1. Too many times we think that, you know what, we don't need revival. And it says, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge. This is what we were talking about earlier, teenagers. But he that hateth reproof is brutish. I looked in other passages of Scripture as well as Noah's 1828 dictionary. And the best I could find was insensible, savage, carnal, or ignorant. This is a passage of opposites. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. There's two opposites there. The truth of the matter is there's no middle ground. You know, on an ambulance, Brother Paul will understand this, that, you know, the thing about it is revival means a similar word on an ambulance as it does in the church. On the ambulance is a restoring of breath. And the thing about it is if someone were to either overdose or just other things, and they would stop breathing. An EMT would try and revive that person to get them to breathe. And this is a little bit out of size. This is an adult mask with a pediatric BVM. And anyways, I'm sure Brother Paul is very accustomed to these. But, and maybe some of you, but the thing about it is what happens is you try and restore the breathing. Teenagers, this is what we're trying to do by getting you to listen up in church. We're trying to get you to understand how important it is to walk with God. This is why, teenagers, we take you to youth conferences and sit you under godly preaching and try and get you to understand, because the truth of the matter is, let me see if you agree with this one. Not breathing is not normal, right? Here's the thing is, if someone were to stop breathing, we all say, you know what? Oh, they stopped breathing. It's okay. Maybe if you didn't like them. But some of the teenagers are like, I don't know who they're not. But anyways, the thing about it is, here's the thing is, breathing is normal, right? The truth of the matter is that, you know what? The definition of respiration, simplified, is air in and air out. Not just air, but oxygen. Oxygen in and carbon dioxide out. For someone to be revived, it takes that person to take in oxygen on their own and expel carbon dioxide. The truth of the matter is that Christians, we need revival. And the truth of the matter is the breath of revival is normal. Spiritual inactivity is spiritual death. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. We need revival. And the truth of the matter listen, guys, God says that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The thing about it is we all have areas in which we can work on. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 says this, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. We're supposed to be growing. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 17 and 18. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know this thing before, beware lest also being led away with the error of the wickedness, fall from your own steadfast, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. We need to be growing in grace. And let me tell you, here's another profound statement. Ready? This is going to blow everybody's hair back. Dead people don't grow. Right? I've never seen a dead person grow. And here's the thing is, if I ever see a dead person raise their arm or something, I'm out of there. And but the thing about it is it just never happens. And you know what? We need to breathe in the freshness of God's word and breathe out the harmfulness of sin. You know, the thing about it is we saw in the youth conference, the differences between yielding and surrender. Opposite. The difference between surrender and yielding. Surrender means, you know what, back in the old days, they'd take a white hanky and then maybe tie it to the top of their bayonet and they'd wave it. I surrender. That means they've been fighting. The truth of the matter is we have no business fighting with God. And the truth of the matter is, I'll be honest with you, there has been times in my life, one was for the call to preach. I fought God for a year that, you know what, I want to go to technical college. I want to be like Stephen. I want to be the computer nerd typing at the computer. But the truth of the matter is you know what, God had other plans for me. You know what? God knew what was best for my life. And I'll be honest with you, had I been that computer nerd and walked totally away from God, you know what? I would not have been happy. Young people, the truth of the matter is that sin is pleasurable, but for a season. And the truth of the matter is you know what? Revival yields a clean conscience. Revival yields a perfect walk with God where, you know what? We may not be perfect, but we're going to be mature. And what happens is like Paul, or like the Bible says, keep me from presumptuous sins. Hey, the difference is I don't want to sin. You know what? Maybe I'm going to make mistakes, but the truth of the matter is I don't want to sin. My desires have been changed. And the truth of the matter is we need to breathe in the freshness of God's word and breathe out the harmfulness of sin. Thing about it is we cannot just retain without expelling. Thing about it is you try this. Try and breathe in and don't breathe out. Eventually you get to a point where you've got to breathe out. Thing about it is if we breathed in oxygen and breathed out oxygen, what oxygen is going to the cells? Or if we breathe in carbon dioxide and we breathe out carbon dioxide, we still have a problem. And the thing about it is you know what? We need to take and you know what? There's going to be a problem. I'll be honest with you. This is why it blows my mind. I've seen Christians that they'll sit in church and they'll read the songbook or they'll read the music and they'll take and read other things and they'll try and draw and they'll try and this and that and the other. And what happens is this is a person that has not got this idea right here that we need to take in the things of God and expel the sin. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. God talks to us about this very thing. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. That's that word that we don't like. For correction, another thing that we don't like. For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished in all good works. I tell you what, if we don't like reproof and correction and instruction, we're not going to like the Word of God. You know, just for sake of time, I'm not going to go into depth, but the truth of the matter is I wrote down some common breathing problems and related them to spiritual conditions. CHF is fluid in the lungs that hinders inadequate breathing. This is sin in our lives that hinders a walk with God. Presumptuous sins, like I talked about, Psalms 19 and verse 13. Emphysema, this is when lungs lose their ability or elasticity due to smoking or other abuse. This is a person that has a seared conscience from ignoring God's leading from revival. This is due to allowing sin in our lives and not getting it taken care of. Asthma, this is the tightening of the lungs that hinders the ability to move air. This is a person that doesn't want to jump in all the way and get involved. They do not want to walk with God and they don't want to attend all the services because, you know what, that's just over the top. In their mind, it's not a reasonable service. It's not that they actually have something keeping them from church. It's they just don't want to. The truth of the matter is the bottom line is this. Revival is getting back to normal breathing. God's word in, sin out. Too many times, Christians have lost consciousness and have lost their pattern for normal breathing. The carbon dioxide of this world is choking out the consciousness of the believer, and sin is slipping in unawares. Convictions and standards go by the wayside, and we get to the point where we're following the world. We're at a distance, but we're still following the world. Titus chapter 2, verse 12 through 14. The truth of the matter is that whole idea of following the world, that's a dangerous spot to be in. Titus chapter 2 and I'm having a hard time turning there myself. All right. Titus chapter 2 and verse 12 through 14, it says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify himself a peculiar people, zealous in the good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. The truth of the matter is that we need to let God work inside of us. You know, when I was in high school, I was on a basketball team. And I heard this illustration. This illustration is not original to me. But I heard this illustration, and the illustration was this. Is for those of you that play basketball, think about it is when you're sitting on the bench, what do? You have the warm-up pants on, right? And you practice ahead of time, and you put the warm-up pants. When the coach, when your coach gives you the sign, you come, hey, I'm subbing in. What happens? Those warm-up pants come off, right? And the truth of the matter is that we go in and we play, and you know what? When it's time to sit on the bench, we put the warm-up pants back on. And you know, the thing about it is that sin is put off when we get in the game. And let us lay aside every weight and the sin. There's a difference between weights and sins. The weight is something that keeps us from running a race like we should. I'll be honest with you. There's things that teenagers are not necessarily that we that would be listed in the Bible as a sin, but something that's keeping us that we've taken and put a priority over God, and that is keeping us from walking with God. And the truth of the matter is that the Bible says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which just so easily beset us, and let's run with patience the race." The thing about it is those besetting sins is those sins that we run back to when we get out of the game. The thing about it is besetting sins are those things that we run back to when we get out of the game. I'll be honest with you, when you're in the game, you're running hard and you're trying to win the game, and you push and you're giving it your all. And the truth of the matter is you know what? You give everything. But the truth of the matter is when you're on the bench, you're putting up on those warm-up pants. What's our desires like? The truth of the matter is do we desire to please the world, or desire to please God? Are we in the game, so to speak? Are we serving God? Are we yielding to God and say, God, you know what? I'll be honest with you. This is another thing where the conference has spoke to my heart. And the thing about it is, has there been a place and a time where we've told God, I relinquish control of my life? You know what? He talked about being a bondservant. A bondservant would go to his master and say, you know what? I want to have my ear pierced to show everybody that I of my own will serve you the rest of my life. The truth of the matter is we don't need to go to God and say, you know what? I will be your bondservant. I will freely and willingly, I choose you to be my master for the rest of my life. And God says at that point in time, that's where revival starts. Let me ask you tonight, how comfortable is God living in our lives tonight? In just a minute, we're going to have an invitation. The pastor once challenged me. He said, Scott, there's three reasons why I go to the altar. One is because God spoke to my heart and I need to get it settled. The second reason is God hasn't spoke to my heart and there's a problem with me. Third reason is I'm burdened about somebody else. I'm not talking about if there's a health reason why you can't come forward, but we need to ask ourselves, when's the last time we've made a decision and sealed it at an old-fashioned altar, telling God, hey, listen, I am your bondservant. Teenagers, I'll be honest with you, when you're talking in church, you're not telling God, I'll be your bondservant, because what happens is you're distracting everybody around you from hearing the most important message from the Word of God. We need to, as a youth group, as a church, as an individual, I need to tell God, God, you have full control. Christ took upon him the form of a servant. I need to be a servant. You know what? Servants have no will of their own. I need to be like Christ in that area and say, God, I have no will upon my own. You are in control of my life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you know my heart. My sincere desire is that statement right there that I would be your bondservant. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to want revival, help us to realize we need revival. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for loving us and giving us the opportunity for revival. Help us to be like those that in the passage of faith, where by faith we allow you to do great things in our lives. Help us to not hold on to our little pet sins, and help us to not try and hold on to certain areas in our lives where we don't want to give it over to you. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just bring revival to our youth group, to our church, and to our city, and most importantly, to my life. I pray this all in Jesus' name.